passion. We're fighting for joy. Somebody say joy.
We fought hard for LGBTQ loved ones to get out the closet. We won't go back.
I got a message for the Republicans and the justices of the United States Supreme Court. You can pry this wedding band from my cold, dead, gay hand.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. A Beijing court grants groundbreaking visitation rights to a lesbian co-mom. Kathmandu Pride marches with the Gajatra Memorial Parade, and diverse Democratic delegates demonstrate equity and inclusion. Those stories and more this week because you found This Way Out.
I'm Elena Botkin-Levy.
And I'm John Dyer V.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending August 24th, 2024. A lesbian co-mother got to see her 7-year-old daughter for the first time in 5 years, thanks to a historic court ruling in Beijing. The visitation rights case marks the first time a court in China has acknowledged that a child can have two legal mothers. It might have been a heartwarming story, but now the other mother is vowing to block any future visits, and the fate of the couple's son remains unresolved. Zheng Peiyi married her wife in a U.S. ceremony in 2016. Using her wife's eggs and donor sperm, embryos that were therefore genetically linked only to Zheng's wife were implanted in both women. In 2017, Zheng gave birth to a girl, and her wife gave birth to a boy. When the couple separated 2 years later, Zheng's wife took both children and refused to let her see them. Zheng sued her estranged wife in 2020 in China's first custody battle involving a same-gender couple. This week's ruling grants Zheng monthly visits with her daughter, but not her son. Even though she's not genetically related to either child, the court recognized the fact that Zheng birthed the girl. Attorney Gao Mingye thinks the issue is bound to confound Chinese courts until there's some sort of legal recognition for same-gender couples. Zheng told the Associated Press that she sat quietly with her estranged wife and their daughter for her first 4-hour visit. The masked girl glanced up at Zheng from her homework a few times. Zheng's ex now wants to stop the visitations on the grounds that Zheng is violating the children's privacy.
Hundreds of people marched with LGBTQ pride through the streets of Kathmandu on August 20th. The annual event coincides with Nepal's festival of Gai Jatra, a memorial for people who have died during the past year. The Blue Diamond Society sponsors the parade. Leader Pinky Gurung told the Kathmandu Post, "In Gai Jatra, men dress as women in brocade crimson blouses and saris, so in a way, Gai Jatra has always embodied and embraced the LGBTQIA+ community." Activists have also been using the Gai Jatra Festival to honor queer people whose families refused to perform traditional funeral rites. Gurung explained, "This parade represents the commemoration of our deceased community members, so their souls can rest in peace."
HIV-positive people will no longer be prevented from enlisting in the U.S. military. Judge Leonie M. Brinkema of the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Virginia finally eliminated one of the country's lingering remnants of HIV/AIDS discrimination. Brinkema wrote in her August 20th decision, "The Pentagon's policies prohibiting the accession of asymptomatic HIV-positive individuals with undetectable viral loads into the military are irrational, arbitrary, and capricious." Brinkema had declared the military's discrimination against current service members with HIV unconstitutional in 2022. That left pending 3 lawsuits against the Pentagon by 3 prospective enlistees with HIV. The queer advocacy group Lambda Legal sued on their behalf. In extending her earlier ruling to people with HIV who want to enlist, Brinkema concluded that the ban was actively hampering the military's own recruitment goals.
Houston, Texas transgender sheriff's deputy Anna Lang will be in court again defending her right to insurance coverage for her now-completed gender-affirming surgery. A three-judge panel of the 11th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals had upheld a U.S. District Court ruling in 2022 that Houston County had violated Lang's civil rights when it denied the surgery under its employee health plan. Lang underwent the $10,000 procedure later that year. Houston County has nevertheless spent far more than that, continuing to contest that ruling. They argue that the health plan was not being discriminatory because it excludes coverage for sex change surgeries for anyone, no matter their sex or gender identity. A majority of the full 12-judge 11th Circuit Court bought that argument and ordered a new trial this week. A date is to be determined. With six of its 12 judges appointed by Donald Trump, the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals is one of the most conservative in the country.
Rights activists are warning Texas trans people to not even try to change their government documents, at least for the time being. Give credit to State Attorney General Ken Paxton, who has ordered the Department of Public Safety to flatly deny all applications to change driver's license or state ID gender markers. Only corrections to provable clerical errors are allowed. Until this week, a court order or an amended birth certificate have been enough to authorize the gender marker change. Under Paxton's new directive, that won't matter. Anyone who asks to change their gender marker now will instead be added to a database for state Republican lawmakers, according to Austin Public Radio Station KUT. It's not clear why or how that clearly personal information might be used.
The state of Florida is virtually telling queer tourists to go where the sun don't shine. Visit Florida's website used to promote pride events, the state's top 10 gay beaches, and other queer-friendly destinations for LGBTQ travelers. But those pages have been removed. The link that once led to that information now directs to a generic Things to Do page. Similar pages for Black, Hispanic, and other minority visitors are still there. In a way, Equality Florida actually beat the state to it. Because of the hostile environment for LGBTQ people created by Governor Ron DeSantis and his Republican cronies in the legislature and state agencies, the queer advocacy group issued a travel advisory last year. It warns individuals, families, entrepreneurs, and students that Florida may not be a safe place to visit or take up residence.
Florida is apparently also not a safe place to be a book. Governor DeSantis's heralded conservative takeover of New College hit a new low last week with the massive dumping of books from its library shelves. Most were from the college's now-shuttered gender and diversity program. Several social media posts show dumpsters filled with books. The trashed piles include books about feminist issues, Black hip-hop culture, and specifically queer tomes. New College Library staff issued a defensive statement saying it was engaged in a standard annual procedure of weeding its collection of materials that are old, damaged, or otherwise no longer serving the needs of the college. Some books may have sustained water damage during a recent tropical storm. Others may no longer serve the needs of a college moving to the right. Students would have been able to claim the books, but the dumping occurred about a week before most of them arrived ahead of the upcoming semester. To ACLU of Florida Executive Director Bacardi Jackson, it's reminiscent of some of history's darkest times. He wrote, "The fact that these books, sources of wisdom, diverse perspectives, and the narratives of marginalized communities, were discarded in the dead of night without transparency and without giving students the opportunity to preserve them should outrage every Floridian and every American who values democracy and free thought."
Finally, one half of arguably the world's most famous queer penguin couple has died. With life partner Magic, Sven made headlines around the world when they first nurtured an abandoned egg at the Sydney, Australia-based Sea Life Aquarium. Fans nicknamed their healthy chick Svengik, but her real name is Lara. Sven and Magic's second chick is Clancy. The couple was even honored with a float at the Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras. The aquarium announced Sven's death of natural causes on the eve of his 12th birthday earlier this month. Aquarium staff brought his partner of 6 years to see his body so that he could understand that Sven was gone. They said that nearly 9-year-old Magic soon began singing, with the entire Gentoo penguin colony joining him. Penguin keeper Renee Howell told The Guardian that the species typically bows or sings to one another during courtship, but that they had never witnessed behavior like that after a penguin's death. She said, "In that moment for us, it was a beautiful send-off."
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude, for the week ending August 24th, 2024. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon and Lucia Chappell, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Thank you. Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more. For This Way Out, I'm Elena Botkin-Levy. Stay healthy.
And I'm John Dyer V. Stay safe.
Our listeners support This Way Out in many ways.
By subscribing to our e-newsletter.
Email us at info@thiswayout.org.
And through your financial contributions to our program.
More information about how you can give is online at thiswayout.org.
Thank you.
DEI was a dirty word at their Republican counterparts confab last month, but diversity, equity, and inclusion bloomed at this year's Democratic National Convention. Meeting at the United Center in Chicago from August 19th to 22nd, the vast majority of delegates were jubilant about nominating Vice President Kamala Harris and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz for President and Vice President of the United States. At least for 4 days, freedom, patriotism, and family values belonged to the left side of the partisan aisle. Harris and Second Gentleman Doug Emhoff are a model of modern family values. Theirs was just one snapshot in the Democrats' alternative family album. It also included the Senate's first black lesbian, LaFonza Butler of California, out Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel, and Human Rights Campaign President Kelly Robinson.
Kamala Harris when she was district attorney, and I was president of a large care workers union. We hit it off right away. What really impressed me was how well she got to know my family, my wife, Nanicki, but especially our daughter, Nyla. And as soon as Nyla heard that Ms. Kamala was running for president, she asked if she could be vice president. So, no disrespect to Governor Walz, but Nyla put her name in first.
I'm Pete Buttigieg, and I'm thinking of dinner time at our house in Michigan. When the dog is barking and the air fryer is beeping and the mac and cheese is boiling over, and it feels like all the political negotiating experience in the world is not enough for me to get our 3-year-old son and our 3-year-old daughter to just wash their hands and sit at the table. It's the part of our day when politics seems the most distant, and yet the makeup of our kitchen table, the existence of my family, is just one example of something that was literally impossible as recently as 25 years ago when an anxious teenager growing up in Indiana wondered if he would ever find belonging in this world.
I'm Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel. As California's Attorney General, Kamala Harris never shied away from a good fight. What really stands out is when she stood up and protected her constituents' freedoms. In 2011, she refused to defend California's ban on same-sex marriage. She refused to argue that some families should have fewer rights than other families. She was fighting
for families like mine. By the way, I got a message for the Republicans and the justices of the United States Supreme Court. You can pry this wedding band from my cold, dead, gay hand.
Please welcome President of the Human Rights Campaign, Kelly Robinson.
In just a few generations, my family went from being enslaved in Mississippi to being the first free black family in Muscatine, Iowa. Progress is happening, my friends. The 20-plus million LGBTQ+ Americans are living proof of it. We are your friends and your neighbors, your classmates and your family. Donald Trump wants to erase us. He would ban our health care, belittle our marriages, bury our stories, but we are not going anywhere. We are not going back. Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, they are champions for LGBTQ+ freedom, y'all. So tonight, we're fighting for lesbian, gay, bisexual, queer, and trans freedom without exception. We're fighting for equality for all without exception. We're fighting for joy. Somebody say joy. Somebody say joy. Without exception. And when we fight,
you're listening to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon.
There's a place for everybody. And I keep talking about this, the expansion of rights to everyone that this group has fought for. These guys seem to think it's like pie. Like, oh, we cut the pie, I get a smaller piece. Rights don't work like pie. There's enough for everybody. There's enough for everybody to have rights.
Winter, spring, summer, or fall.
Governor Tim Walz's surprise visit to a meeting of the LGBTQ caucus was another queer highlight at the Democratic National Convention. Star quality queer allies like the National Action Network's Reverend Al Sharpton and media icon Oprah Winfrey were out and proud at the Chicago Gala. Former First Lady Michelle Obama recalled the relentless racism her husband's successor targeted at her family and slapped back at his recent false claims about immigration's impact on black unemployment.
We fought hard for LGBTQ loved ones to get out the closet. We won't go back. We fought hard for the right to choose, the right to education. We suffered and died and bled, went to jail to get the right to vote. We won't go back.
I am so honored to have been asked to speak on tonight's theme about what matters most to me, to you, and all of us Americans: freedom. There are people who want you to see our country as a nation of us against them, people who want to scare you, who want to rule you, people who'd have you believe that books are dangerous and assault rifles are safe, that there's a right way to worship and a wrong way to love, people who seek first to divide and then to conquer. But here's the thing. When we stand together, it is impossible to conquer us.
For years, Donald Trump did everything in his power to try to make people fear us. See, his limited, narrow view of the world made him feel threatened by the existence of two hardworking, highly educated, successful people who happen to be black. I want to know, who's going to tell him Who's going to tell him that the job he's currently seeking might just be one of those black jobs? Look, because cutting our health care, taking away our freedom to control our bodies, the freedom to become a mother through IVF like I did, those things are not going to improve the health outcomes of our wives, mothers, and daughters. Shutting down the Department of Education, banning our books, none of that will prepare our kids for the future. Demonizing our children for being who they are and loving who they love. Look, that doesn't make anybody's life better.
To a land where the river runs free. To a land through the green country. To a land to a shining sea. To a land where the horses run free. To a land where the children are free.
And you and me are free to be.
Right-wing think tanks have big plans in store for an autocratic second Trump administration. Project 2025's sharpest critics included out Pennsylvania State Representative Malcolm Kenyatta and Colorado Governor Jared Polis, Saturday Night Live ally Kenan Thompson, and the vice presidential nominee.
My name is Malcolm Kenyatta, a proud son of Pennsylvania. I brought Trump's Project 2025. All 900 pages of it. And it's interesting because usually Republicans want to ban books, but now they're trying to shove this down our throats.
Page 451 says the only legitimate family is a married mother and father where only the father works. You know what? I'm going to take that one out. I'm going to put that in my pocket so I can share it with undecided voters so they better understand what's at stake this election.
Live from New York, please welcome Kenan Thompson.
Y'all remember this big old book from before? When Colorado Governor Jared Polis ripped a page out of it? This is Becky.
Hi, Kenan. It's great to be here.
Now, Becky, you're married, correct?
I am. Me and my wife have been together for about 8 years.
Oh, that's amazing. Very, very cute.
Thanks.
But I have got some bad news for you.
I hate that.
On page 584, Project 2025 calls for the elimination of protections for LGBTQ+ Americans.
Some folks just don't understand what it takes to be a good neighbor. Take Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. Their Project 2025 will make things much, much harder for people who are just trying to live their lives. They spent a lot of time pretending they know nothing about this. But look, I coached high school football long enough to know, and trust me on this, when somebody takes the time to draw up a playbook, they're going to use it. Look, we got 76 days. That's nothing. There'll be time to sleep when you're dead. We're going to leave it on the field. That's how we'll keep moving forward. That's how we'll turn the page on Donald Trump. That's how we'll build a country where workers come first. Healthcare and housing are human rights. And the government stays the hell out of your bedroom.
DJ Cassidy rocked the roll call vote that tallied the Harris-Walz ticket victory. The state of New Jersey included a transgender delegate, and New York Governor Kathy Hochul touched all the right bases.
New Jersey, how do you cast your vote?
Everybody, I'm Governor Phil Murphy. We're from Jersey, baby, and you're not. In the Great Garden State, we care about protecting women's rights and lifting up vulnerable communities. That's what we mean when we say the Great Garden State.
My name is Dr. Joey Perella, pronouns she, her, hers. I'm a proud resident of the Garden State. I'm proud to stand with Kamala Harris and and Tim Walz because they stand with the LGBTQ community.
From Seneca Falls, the birthplace of the women's rights movement, to Stonewall, the birthplace of the LGBTQ movement, to Stone King Mountain, the birthplace of the environmental justice movement, and the birthplace of the labor movement. As the first woman governor of New York, I am so proud to cast 298 votes to make Kamala Harris the first female president of the United States of America.
Let us show each other and the world who we are and what we stand for. Freedom, opportunity, compassion, dignity, fairness, and endless possibilities. It is now our turn to do what generations before us have done. Guided by optimism and faith, to fight for this country we love, to fight for the ideals we cherish, and to uphold the awesome responsibility that comes with the greatest privilege on earth, the privilege and pride of being an American. And together, let us write the next great chapter in the most extraordinary story ever.
That was Vice President Kamala Harris accepting the nomination to become the 47th President of the United States at the Democratic National Convention on August 22nd, and the Auth band Chicks singing the national anthem. Election Day is November 5th. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. News Wrap was reported this week by Elena Bacalivi and John Dyer V, and produced by Ryan DeShazer. You heard music by The Stylistics, Beyoncé, Sly and the Family Stone, Three Dog Night, Carole King, and The Seekers. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks David Hunt of Raleigh, North Carolina, and Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley. Listener donors like them make this program possible. Ask us about how you can join them. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email us at info@thiswayout.org, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org or wherever you get your podcasts, and on 4BI, Fortitude Valley, Queensland, KUGS, Bellingham, Washington, WCRS, Columbus, Ohio, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy, stay safe, and stay tuned.